Mike 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will be in for us, as we've got a White Sox game on, so Cap will do a solo show right before first pitch today at 3 o'clock. Shay!
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Good to see you again this morning. When did we do this last? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so. Two, 3 weeks ago.
Time flies.
Very affable in the morning, Shay.
Yeah.
Who is me?
You. Yeah. Yes.
I don't hear that much.
Yeah, you're very affable. And, like, I hope we get to your topic with your wife later in the show.
We might get to it here in Shot or No Shot.
Well, let's go. Let's get to this.
All right, so let's get started with a little Bears first. Two of the top NFL draft analysts, Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah, released new mock drafts yesterday. Both had the Bears going the route of offensive tackle at number 9. Kiper had the Bears picking up Paris Johnson out of Ohio State. Daniel Jeremiah had the Bears selecting Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern. So shot or no shot, regardless of the name, offensive tackle is the right call for the Bears at number 9.
I think that's a shot. I subscribe to what I subscribed to last year. They've got a process. You got to let them use their process. Ryan Poles is a guy that sets his board and sticks to it. They still have so many needs that his formula has to be followed again this year. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you have a more complete roster, then you can pick and choose whether or not you're going to follow best available player regardless of position, or you're going to factor in the position of need more so. Not with this team. If one of those offensive linemen is the highest rated player on Poles' board, take him. If it's a cornerback, take him. If it's Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver from Ohio State's the highest rated player at 9 and you're still there, take him.
Yeah.
Take the best player in your mind that is available at that time.
It's a boring cliche, but it's very true. But a shot to both things. Like, you could get the best offensive tackle and you still don't have a tackle at wherever you're opposite of Braxton Jones. Do you want to play Braxton Jones at right, or do you want to play him at left where he was last year? I don't know what he is. So go out and draft that. And did you see how much Denver has paid for their offensive line? The two guys, what did McGlinchey get? Like, they were in the McGlinchey market.
Yeah, a huge bag of money. In fact, it got so expensive, the Bears bailed.
So you see
$87.5 million, 52 of which was guaranteed.
You see what all these guys are getting. So if you can get a young player and you can have two young, cost-controlled players at both tackle positions with a cost-controlled quarterback for now, let's go.
Yeah.
They're good, you're in business.
Sure. If it's a three technique, if it's Jalen Carter there and you've done your due diligence and you are comfortable with the pick, pick him. If it's corner, pick him, regardless of what it is. The only position where you wouldn't make that decision is quarterback, and that goes without saying.
Remind me later. I know this is shot or no shot. I've got a would-you-rather question for you later in the show on Jalen Carter.
Cross-pollinating.
Won't cross-pollinate, but remind me to bring a Jalen Carter question up for all you guys later.
Deal. I'm in. I asked this yesterday. This is about the Panthers and Poles targeting three players. Yesterday we speculated about who they were. Now we have it from Joe Person, beat writer for The Athletic, for the Panthers. It was DJ Moore, Brian Burns, and Derek Brown. I asked this yesterday, but I want your perspective. Shot or no shot, DJ Moore still the most exciting name of those three players?
No shot. It's Brian Burns. Brian Burns is their best player. He gets the quarterback on the ground. It's one of the most important players. DJ Moore is very good, and I'm very excited to get him. But Brian Burns is young, in the prime of his career, is just like DJ Moore. He may even be a year younger than DJ Moore. Is he 24, Brian Burns? But he's fantastic.
Brian
24. He'll 24. Turn 25.
Yeah, he's the most accomplished player.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say no shot as well. And again, it's not a vote against DJ Moore. It's a vote for Brian Burns. Yeah, I think he's an even more impactful player. I'm not upset. I'm very happy.
I'm very happy.
But Brian Burns, as a pass rusher, I think is more accomplished than DJ Moore is as a pass catcher. And that's saying a lot because I think DJ Moore is a one. So, no shot.
We have a little bit of disgruntled player news in the NBA, and it may have an impact on the Bulls this coming offseason. An interview with Jaylen Brown was published in The Ringer yesterday. He was asked what his long-term future is in Boston. His answer, quote, "I don't know," regarding being in Boston long-term. With the Bulls seemingly ready to overhaul the roster this offseason, shot or no shot, they should trade for Jaylen Brown.
That's a shot from me. I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, get me from point A to trade for Jaylen Brown. I don't know how you get there. That's a long, circuitous path.
Sign and trade Kobe White?
You know what? Just because it's 8 in the morning, it's not an excuse for nonsense.
Well, it's always an excuse for nonsense.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you're going to get there, but he's 26 years of age. You know, he's averaging almost 27 points this year.
Zach's the oppo Jaylen Brown, is he not? Because Jaylen Brown will play defense and will do a lot of the dirty work and score.
Yeah. I think they're similar players.
Well, I don't know. Jaylen Brown is
a way more complete player.
I'm a little lower on him than most. I don't think he's the defender. I don't think he's the defender a lot of people give him credit
for. Are you a Boston fan as well?
I watch a lot of Celtics basketball. I don't think he's the defender people think.
How did you become such a Boston fan with the Patriots and the Celtics?
Well, I had family when I was growing up. I had family that lived in Boston. We'd visit them 4 or 5 times pretty often. And Lions games, if you know, the NFL had the blackout.
Unwatchable.
They had the blackout rule, so if they didn't sell out the games, you couldn't watch any of the home games. So when those got blacked out, I already had a family connection to Boston, and the Patriots would always be on, so it was kind of easy.
I think you should develop a New England accent just for you-know-whats and giggles.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to support...
Do no shot or no shot with the Boston accent.
Listen, if you're going to be a Celtics fan and a Patriots fan, come on, let's go full. Let's go both feet in.
I think the Bulls are, this is a huge offseason, and this is an offseason where AK is going to be thinking about remaking their team. And if Jaylen Brown wants out, then he should definitely be on the radar. And the Bulls have guys that they want to trade, whether it's DeMar, whether it's Zach LaVine as part of the trade, whether it's a sign and trade with Vooch. Try all these things.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is not. Zach's got a better three-point percentage, I would, and a better free throw percentage. But if I asked you if you could trade them one for one, who would you rather have? I'd say Jaylen Brown at this point.
All right, Tommy, I'm going to give it a try here.
Yeah, give it a try.
That's not bad.
Mike Petriello of MLB.com had an interesting instant reaction to the final at bat of the WBC. Seems like hyperbole to say that was one of the most important PA in baseball history, but it was. Two of the best ever talents in their first matchup, Taylor. With the title on the line, blasting 102 and nasty spin to end the WBC. We might look back on as the one that launched it. That was the quote from Mike Petriello. Shot or no shot, that was one of the most important plate appearances in baseball history.
I'm going to say no shot.
Me too.
It just, listen, I get it. We live in the moment.
Important? Was it great? Was it fantastic? Was it awesome to market baseball? Yes. But important? I mean, come on.
No.
Jackie Robinson, like, those are important, and there are, like, more important things for the game. But this was fantastic, but it wasn't.
I think by the time we get to June, most baseball fans, you won't because you're a diehard, most baseball fans, this will be in the rearview mirror and people will have forgotten about it.
I don't think that. No, I don't agree with that.
I think the casual fan will, this will drift into their.
I'll remember, like, I still remember, too, like, as weird as it is.
You're a diehard, though.
Well, I'm not a. I still remember T.J. Oshie's shootout. For Olympic hockey.
I know,
but you weren't as into it as I was. I watched it. I was up for that. When TJ Oshie took every shootout That was like it was magnificent. Like I remember watching U.S. Canada hockey in Mexico. Like I remember these things. So while it may not be the most important, it still is a super memorable at bat, and I don't think I'll forget watching it.
You're not a construction worker, though. You live in the world of sports. I think that for the average fan, I think it's more likely that this will drift into the backs of their minds, and it won't be something that is on the front of their brain.
Okay.
So, but listen, it was fun. I think it was needed for the game of baseball for sure. But I think the greater, we're going to be talking more at the end of this season. And again, it'll be more fresh in your mind about the rule changes and how they impacted the 2023 Major League Baseball season. And we won't even be discussing the WBC at that point.
Probably true. All right, boys, I texted.
Shot. That's a shot.
That's a shot. I texted you this yesterday. I was walking home from breakfast with my wife. We went through some of the breakfast
bracket
yesterday, and she was fortunate enough we were going home at the same time. I wanted chicken and waffles, so we went and got breakfast. And on the way home, she pointed to a dog that was just pooping right on the sidewalk, and she said the very simple statement, can you imagine being a dog and just being able to poop wherever? So it brought up a debate where I asked, if it were socially acceptable, would you poop in public anywhere? And she said, no. I thought she was lying. So I want to ask the two of you, shot or no shot, if it were socially acceptable, you would poop in public anywhere.
No shot. Well, this opens Pandora's box here, and more than just Pandora's box. I mean, so are we just dropping trowel here now?
Well,
I mean,
it's become socially acceptable example.
So that means now nudity is socially acceptable?
I guess so.
Or do we just have like a poop flap where now we just open up the poop flap and we take a squat? Yeah. Does this mean now wiping is not an issue?
Wow. No, why would that be?
Are we wiping then?
You have to.
Well, or do we? Like, don't wipe.
Well, but no, but then you'd have to have like a toilet paper bag that you throw away when you're done. You'd have to clean it up after yourself, I would think, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have to treat yourself like the dog that you are for crapping in the street?
You would have to take care of it still. But if it's socially acceptable, I assume you have the ability to clean up after yourself.
It's legal for you to poop upstairs, but you won't because you like to play a home game. You're not squatting in the middle of State Street, even if it's acceptable.
That is no, that's too much work. There's too much. There's too much cleanup. There are toilets all over the place. And this isn't like if the world didn't have toilets, should we go outside? This is if it's socially acceptable, would you go in the street? Right?
That's right.
I also asked her, I asked the same question because she was a little hesitant about the poop. I said, okay, well, if you could pee in public, if it was socially acceptable to pee and you could just squat and pee wherever you want. And she still said no. She would go home.
Well, this is, here's my plan. If I was ruler of the day, I don't think you should be allowed to pee all the time outdoors because then there would just be pee all over the place.
We live in an even more disgusting environment than we already do.
I believe at birth, like a coach in a football game gets two challenges before every football game.
Call it the whiz flag.
You get two free public urinations. You should not get arrested for your first public urination or a ticket. That's ridiculous. You should get two free emergencies.
What if you're standing on top of the Chicago Theater sign, peeing down on?
You should not be able to rain down on people. Right. Well, you should not be able to whiz on people.
I'm just trying to find a way to make it
rain. You should not be able to make it rain. Okay. But if you're out and you have nowhere to go and you go in an alley like a responsible person because you have to, and a cop sees you, you should be able to say, here's my ticket. I've got two left. It's a punch card. You should not be able to get a ticket because it's an emergency.
We got to figure out a way to get you a third. Yeah. You earn a third if you do something with the first two.
Yeah, like, right. Like, if you do something to help society, you can earn things that are along the way. And, yes, I would like a third public urination ticket. Like, it's ridiculous that we're handing out penalties for public urination.
If it's an emergency, I don't want you. You know what? You could cause physical damage to yourself if you try to hold the whiz in when the whiz needs to come out.
Yes.
So
are you? I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Right. There's no pooping in public, though.
No.
We don't need that.
I don't need a poop flap.
It's too. You know, we live in a disgusting environment a lot of the time, anyway.
He's Waddle. I'm Selvey. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Love that. The Kirk Cousins at the end there. Surround the NFL.
It's the only thing you love about Kirk Cousins.
That is.
He is on your top five list of NFL players you hate.
I don't hate him. I just think he's overrated, overpaid.
Nobody thinks he's any good. How can anybody think he's rated?
You love him.
I don't love him. Yeah. I just think he's a better player than most do.
Surround the NFL. Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie is on vacation. Cap will be in for us today. So we have a short show for White Sox baseball. So we're filling in for the guys today and tomorrow. Let's go back to Shea Norling.
All right, let's start with this and around the NFL. I saw the Coach of the Year odds are available at some offshore books. Dan Campbell leads the way at 11-1. He is the current favorite. Tied for second, Sean Payton at 12-1 is tied with none other than Matt Eberflus, the second best odds to win Coach of the Year in 2023 at 12-1.
I will say that, and I'm not opposed to it, there's a lot of Bears Kool-Aid that is flowing around the NFL universe right now.
Sure.
I'm all for it. I don't believe I'll put my money there. I like Coach, but I expect this team to win 7 games, hopefully a few more than that. If they win 8 or 9 games, he's definitely going to be in the conversation. But
well, it's a formula, isn't it? Isn't it about a coach who is coaching a bad team that has a good turnaround? Did Daboll win it this year? Did Peterson win it this year? I thought it should have been
Pete Carroll.
Like, he didn't get enough love for me.
Well, that would have made sense because they were the team that was predicted to be the worst team by many in all of the National Football League. And at the end of the day, they ended up being a postseason team.
Yeah. Who won it this year, Shane?
Daboll did win it.
Yeah. So, like, it's Daboll. The Giants weren't expected to do much. They go to the postseason. So if the Bears have a 6-game improvement and they go from 3-9...
Oh, yeah. If they have an above 500 record, definitely he'll be in the mix for Coach of the Year.
I like the Sean Payton bet on this because if he gets them in that division playing well and he fixes Russell Wilson, if Russell Wilson plays like Russell Wilson, I like that play.
Do they have to make the playoffs for him to win it? Because remember, Dan Campbell, who's the favorite this year, that Lions team went from 3 wins to 9 wins. They didn't make the playoffs. He wasn't even a finalist. It was Daboll, Shanahan, and Doug Peterson.
I think it's likely that you have to get to the postseason for somebody to win Coach of the Year.
That's why, like, the Dan Campbell thing is tough. For him to win Coach of the Year this year, they really have to have a good year.
Well, they have to be. Yeah, they definitely have to be a postseason. They probably got to win the division.
Yeah.
They might have to be, like, the 1 or 2 seed in the NFC. They were good enough last year. The improvement has to be massive.
Well, now it's because once you set the bar at a certain level, there are expectations, and nobody is going to give you credit for just meeting expectations. You have to exceed expectations to be considered for a postseason or for end-of-season hardware.
All right, let's talk about the Ohio State Pro Day happening today. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Best player on the field today, by far.
Expected to catch passes from C.J. Stroud. Well,
that's a tease. Is it? I mean,
well, but what percent of people then are going to watch Marvin Harrison Jr. and get early scouting for 2024?
I don't think I don't need any early scouting. For me, he's already on the top of the football mountain. But I think didn't some of the other receivers, younger receivers that were coming back, do this for Justin? when Justin was coming out for his pro
day?
Didn't Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave go out and do their thing with him?
Should you be allowed to draft and stash? Like back
That's
in the
a
old
really interesting
like
question.
Draft the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Like in the old NBA, you used to be able to do that. You used to be able to draft, then stash, and they went back to college. They would be able to play in college.
Well, wasn't Larry Bird? That was Larry Bird, I think, was a draft and stash for the Celtics.
Would you use number 9 on the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Oh, I think he'd still go in the top 5. Wouldn't he go in the top 5?
Yeah, he's by far the best receiver. If he came out this year, he'd be the best receiver by leaps and bounds.
And yes, I'd take him at number 9.
That's an interesting conversation. What would you give up? Would you give up getting a player in the first round this year to get the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr. next
year? I still don't think I would do it unless it was a quarterback.
And a lot of guys who are ranked, you know, Abdallah talks about this all the time, a year away.
Your star can fall.
It could fall, then a new guy all of a sudden can come out of nowhere.
Yeah, think about last year. Jordan Addison was prohibitive, the first wide receiver off the board, and now it's Smith and Jigba and Quentin Johnston in front of him. So it's quick.
Yeah.
Talking about that Ohio State Pro Day, the Panthers are sending the organization. David and Nicole Tepper, general manager Scott Fitterer, head coach Frank Reich, assistant GM Dan Morgan, and then a bunch of C-suite people you don't care about, including quarterbacks coach Josh McCown, senior assistant Jim Caldwell, will all be in person in Columbus to watch the Pro Day today. C.J. Stroud's going number 1 overall.
I forgot about that our guy Josh McCown, when they traded for number 1, is now their quarterback's coach.
He's got a good staff. I think I read an article, I was reading pieces of an article that said when they hired Frank Reich, they told him, hire the best coaches, not the coaches that you're familiar with, but go out there. If you think this guy, hire him, there'll be no budgetary limits. Listen, it's their team. They can do whatever the hell they want. I don't know why Mrs. Tepper she want to sit in on some of the 40 times or some of the throws.
Even David.
Let it rip, CJ. Let it rip.
Do you know what's crazy? Beyond the C-suite and even the ownership pair, they have 3 digital media assistants with them in Columbus today. They might as well do
what
the draft
today. What are they doing,
today?
Like a whole hype video? Is that what you're saying?
What are they going to do, media day with C.J. Stroud from his pro day?
Listen, I got no problem with any of it. It's better than not doing your homework. All we ask our teams to do is do your due diligence in your homework. They're sending everybody there. Have at it.
Right.
And then this is a story I found fascinating yesterday. Ben Roethlisberger claims he was in discussions with the 49ers to join their team as a quarterback during the season last year.
Wow. This is like your Cutler thing. You wanted Jay to go play for Shanny.
I was asked, because there's familiarity, because Jay played for his father in Denver. I wondered whether, and I think I sent Jay a text, and I said, I haven't talked to him, but sure, who wouldn't?
Well, apparently Ben would.
We can ask him about that on Friday when he's at the 25-year celebration.
Either that or ask Kyle about it.
I think that there's... Right, if Kyle's there for him. I think that there are certain organizations and certain coaches that great players will even consider the unthinkable. Like, I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger at this point, because of the elbow injury, can throw the football through a wet paper bag. I have no idea. But Kyle, you would trust that Kyle Shanahan would put you in a position to take advantage of what you did have left in your body.
That would have been juicy. But again, Shanny, takes Mr. Irrelevant.
Listen, I'm not so sure if Brock Purdy isn't hurt, I'm not willing to tell you that the Eagles advance. That game could have gone either way.
Javon Hargrave himself has said that game would have gone very differently. He's now a 49er, obviously.
Of course.
But he has said that game would have gone very differently if Purdy stayed in.
I forget the how it unfolded, but early in the third quarter, it was still a game, wasn't it?
Right.
Crazy.
Apparently, this quote from Ben, by the way, sounds like he told them no. He said, they were, I think, reaching out to gauge my interest. I had discussions. I'd be lying if I didn't say there was a small part of me that was intrigued. I could still do it and prove to people that I could still play. At the end of the day, I just can't see myself in anything other than black and gold.
Wow. Yeah, but they were gauging his interest. Yeah. I don't know. That's not an offer.
Listen,
sounded like they were throwing out a wide net.
Yes. What I want to know It says Tom Brady received a phone call from the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. That's great.
In any way, shape, or form over the last couple of weeks or months.
He's coming back, right?
I don't know. I'm still in the no camp.
Ooh.
But I just wonder if the connection has been made yet.
Okay. That's around the NFL. Every day on Cap and J-Hood, we're in for the guys. Waddle and Sylvie normally 2 to 6.
Some madness.
Yeah, the breakfast madness is awesome. And so we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. We'll get you the update coming up next.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and J-Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Waddle and so,
is it time for headlines?
We doing
you
headlines?
You want some headlines?
Yeah, run through them. Why not?
Yeah, Japan beat the U.S. 3-2 in the World Baseball Classic Championship game last night. Shohei closed out the final inning, striking out Angels teammate Mike Trout. Clippers All-Star Paul George left last night's game with an apparent right leg injury. Appeared to a collide with Oklahoma City's Lou Dort. George left the arena on a cart with his right leg extended. And the Bulls back to work tonight. They try to stay hot. Joel Embiid and the Sixers are in town at the United Center. Bulls have won 5 of 6, and they remain a game and a half ahead of the Pacers in the play-in race. Those are your headlines.
I did tell you the other day that they would win one of the games against us.
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe they win both now. Who knows? We'll see. All right, so this is awesome. Obviously, we're in the madness situation.
But anything food-related gets you going, for sure.
And so Jay Moore and Shea have put together. We've got the fast food region and the sweet region going on with Breakfast Madness.
Got to sort out the Sweet 16 here. We got to get through the round of 32 to do it.
I've got a big upset that I'm all about here, Shay. Yeah, let's go through the fast food region. You know what I was critical of the first go around.
All the controversy about the number one seed in the fast food region, yeah. McDonald's hash browns.
Yeah, I love a good McDonald's hash brown.
It's the best, Tommy.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it.
You think it's overseeded?
I think it's overseeded.
Are they the Purdue of the breakfast
not
madness?
No, they're not Purdue. They're absolutely not Purdue. But they're ripe for the upset here.
By the way, the voting is open now at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. You can vote on these matchups. We'll go through them. The number one seed, McDonald's hash browns, taking on the 8 seed, McDonald's bacon, egg, and cheese.
The McDonald's bacon, egg, and cheese, I mean, the Egg McMuffin is what McDonald's is known for, but bacon, egg, and cheese is pure awesomeness.
I want a quick, easy breakfast.
Well, that's a side dish. I mean, that's all that really is. It's a side.
Not if I order 5 of them.
Okay. I kind of sense an upset, guys, because you can go McMuffin or biscuit with the sausage, egg, and bacon.
Oh, you can. You can order either?
You can get either one.
You can get it with a biscuit or with the English muffin.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. You're right. That one's a meal. One's, you know.
Yeah. You're getting all the food
one's
groups
an
in there. You're getting the meat. You're getting the egg. So you're getting some dairy there.
Well, oh, listen, I mean, I'm not in this for the health. I'm in this for filling up my belly.
I'm just telling you. It's not. I'm not saying that it's healthy. I'm just saying you're getting all my food groups. Yeah. You get nourishment.
Nah, just stick to my gut. That's all I want you to do.
All right, what else?
It'll be tasty when I consume it.
The 5 seed in the fast food region, the Burger King croissant sandwich, takes on the 4 seed McGriddle. I feel like this is an easy win for the McGriddle.
Oh, really? I'm not, like, what is the McGriddle?
It's like a pancake.
Yeah. It's like the bacon, egg, and cheese or the sausage, egg, and cheese, but the instead of you getting a biscuit or a muffin, it's 2 pancakes.
Oh, but you get the meat, the cheese, and the egg in it as
well?
Yeah,
so you get a little maple syrup, you get a little pancake action, and you get the meat and cheese and egg.
The McGriddle came along later in the game for me when I stopped eating the fast food breakfast. I got to admit that.
Does it come with a...
I know people love it, though.
Does it come with a gift card for an angioplasty or what? No? Clear!
Yeah, it does.
You get a free heart restart?
You get an AED when you buy the bag. Yeah.
Right. Damn.
It does sound delicious, though. I used to like the croissant sandwich, though. You get the flaky croissant.
Yeah, I would go with that ahead of the McGriddle.
All right, the three seed, the only Chick-fil-A entry to move on, the Chick-fil-A Minis, takes on a classic staple. Sylvie already mentioned it, the six seed Egg McMuffin.
No, it's the OG for me. The Egg McMuffin, I used to get two of them. You remember how I used to say I used to eat corn dogs two at a time?
Yeah.
I used to eat Egg McMuffins two at a time.
It's a national treasure.
National treasure,
yeah,
Jay Moore.
Chick-fil-A is like food crack. I mean, there's an addictive chemical in it that makes you crave it. Smart ass.
Chick-fil-A run ends here.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're the Big Ten. They had a nice victory. They're going to head home.
There's only one thing I do worse than desserts. It's breakfast. So don't take my
You're
advice on
anything. You're not a breakfast guy either.
Not really,
desserts
no.
and breakfast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I'm
you
different.
Do beer, so that does save you. And you drink like, you know, like it's a party all day, every day.
I had one glass of wine last night. That's all I had.
Okay.
It's a big glass.
All right. To round out the breakfast region, the 7-seed McDonald's Big Breakfast, which I've learned is a fan favorite.
I don't even know what it is.
It's got the pancakes. It's got like an egg platter. It's like a country breakfast McDonald's style. Again, you get the defibrillator when you buy it. And then the 2-seed Sausage McMuffin. A lot of McDonald's moving on.
So you got all the McMuffins here.
What's on the Egg McMuffin other than egg? Like, you got no meat product on
That's right. That's why it's
I'll go with the Sausage McMuffin. The Big Breakfast is just too big. It's too big. It's lumbery. It can't get up and down the floor. Like, honestly, you're going to get left behind.
Food coma.
The Sausage McMuffin plays faster. They're good from behind the arc. When they hit their threes, look out. They're going to make a run.
It's like the Big Breakfast is like the big man. It's past.
Yes. Nobody runs their offense to the big guy.
It's your Robert Traylor.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember who he was traded for in the NBA?
Who?
I don't.
Hall of Famer.
I don't remember.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Wow.
I believe that was the trade. I believe draft night trade. Milwaukee and Dallas.
Let me Google that to make sure.
Again,
right
if
here.
My life was on the line right there, you guys would be at my funeral in 2 days because I wasn't getting that.
All right, let's move on to the Sweet Region. The number one seed in Sweet Pancakes.
No.
Easy victory here over number eight Strudel,
I'm going
I think.
Strudel. I'm going upset. I'm not a pancake guy.
Strudel?
Yeah.
What like the hell is wrong?
A little tasty. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong. Like
what kind of strudel am I getting?
The toaster strudel
kind
or
strudel?
A strudel
am I getting?
Like a strudel strudel, not like a toaster strudel. No. Like
Who this eats is strudel.
You get it from the bakery. Isn't that nobody? Yeah, toaster strudels I had when I was a kid. I liked those.
The only reason strudel got through is it was against yogurt. Not that there's like I'll have a yogurt every now and then, but strudel yogurt is as plain as it gets.
Yeah,
this pancakes, is pancakes
win,
all day.
Hands down. Story
and how
franchise.
Could you pick strudel?
Look at that. If I could get a nice, I get a little cinnamon sugar, brown sugar cinnamon strudel.
It's like Cap talking about coffee cake.
Keep the apple out of it. I don't want any apple in it. Yeah. Listen, I don't do breakfast. It's not my thing.
Apparently.
You know what I do? I do Budweiser's. No, I don't. I don't even
strudel.
Like Budweiser. I do coffee in the morning. Maybe a banana.
Can of beer to start the day. The 5-seed croissant takes on the 4-seed cinnamon rolls in
cinnamon
the Sweet
rolls,
Region.
Yeah, especially, and I've heard you guys talk about this. If this is Cinnabon,
oh, yeah.
That's all I picture and all I smell. You go into a mall get me into a 90s mall where the Cinnabon is popping.
The best. Like Better Call Saul.
Oh,
yeah. You're definitely not
Cinnabon
sitting
scenes,
down for a croissant.
The Cinnabon scenes in Better Call Saul are so appetizing.
Yes.
The 3-seed Belgian waffles, my favorite to make the final four, takes on 11-seed upset-minded smoothies.
Now, once again, Shay, explain the difference between a Belgian waffle and a regular waffle.
So the regular waffle, it's a little flatter. It has a lot more pockets, but they're shallower. The Belgian waffle, thicker, larger, and deeper pockets, so you can get more syrup, more butter. You get a better butter-syrup ratio.
So it's just
ratio.
A bigger, deeper waffle?
That's right. Yeah. Deeper is important.
It's not the Waffle House waffle. It's just the thicker waffle. I think most people know what a Belgian waffle is.
I'm going smoothie.
Really? Uh-huh. I like
what
a good
is
smoothie.
Wrong with you?
Nothing wrong with a good smoothie, but I'll go waffle, a Belgian waffle.
Listen, I've learned to manage my food intake, especially in the morning, considering I do have digestive issues. I'm sitting down for a giant sausage and beef sandwich and then getting, you know, in the car to drive downtown 33 miles.
You've already taken four poops today. I imagine if you took one of these sandwiches, four's coming.
He's compensating for me because I haven't taken any and I am completely bloated.
He's taking it on for all of us. Let's round out the sweet region. 10-seed Donuts takes on the 2-seed French Toast.
Donuts.
It's French Toast. Good hot French toast with some powdered sugar on it. Don't need any syrup on the French toast. Because French toast is just good and hot and tasty on its own.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Moore, we see
you talking like you're having a sexual experience.
Yeah, let's put some butter on it, perhaps.
Yeah, get some butter.
I don't need any syrup on my French toast.
Let's drop some hot butter on that.
I know, Shay, you're putting a lot of syrup on there, aren't you?
I'm a syrup and powdered sugar guy on the French toast, yeah.
Bouncing off the walls all afternoon long.
Well, I don't eat it much. That's when I'm all filling the toilet bowl.
So where do you vote?
At ESPN 1000, there were technical difficulties. I will open the voting in a moment. The poll will be up at ESPN 1000 on Twitter in just a minute.
All right. All right. Do you believe in the Bulls now? I'm going to get to the... I don't know. It's early. What do you... we're not in our groove yet. I mean, what do you want me to do? Do you believe in the Bulls now? We're in for Cap'n Jay Hood.
Welcome back
to Cap'n Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap'n Jay Hood in the old National Bank studio. Hope you're having a great morning. You know, now maybe you look forward to watching the Bulls a little bit more.
I do.
You know, it became a huge hate watch for me.
Never was that much for me. It was apathy was the feeling I was feeling.
Yeah, for me it was a hate watch. And like, there's still, you know me, I could be more angry than...
No.
Yeah, angrier than more people, but...
Don't believe it.
It's still, there's still a great part of me that with them winning now, it just sort of accentuates... all their missteps throughout the year. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It just makes a lost year, just points it out even more.
Well, they beat the 76ers. They did something on Monday night that they haven't done really ever, right? I mean, Embiid had never lost to the Bulls. And they won that game. It was one of those games, it's a tough watch because it wasn't a very aesthetically pleasing game. But it's one that the Bulls, like Derrick Jones Jr., comes up with a huge defensive play with a block at the very end. They made some mistakes, and DeMar turned it over at one point. Zach turned it over in a clutch time. But they found a way to get it done. But even in two overtime games, they were two overtime periods, they were 7 of 33 from behind the arc. So when you project this into the postseason, if they get there, you're not going to win anything shooting the ball from distance the way that they consistently shoot the ball from distance. First of all, they don't take enough threes. Second of all, they don't make enough threes. Like, their shooting percentage may be not at the very bottom, but when you don't take as many threes, you're going to have that part of the game is going to have less of an impact. So when they beat the Sixers 109-105 in two overtimes and you look inside the numbers, you're like, this was cool. I rooted for them. I'm confused as a fan, but is there any traction to this?
No, there is none. No, and like Carmen and I talked about it yesterday. If they get into the lottery, there's what, a 35%, 30 to 40% chance that they draft in the top four. And that's the only way they keep their pick.
And it's a top-heavy draft, right? So, they're really good guys at the top of this
so
draft.
That's the way they get better. That's their ticket to get better quicker, is to get a draft pick in the top four and hopefully win the lottery and get a number one pick. If they don't draft in the top four, they don't get a first round pick this year. And then we looked, okay, their odds of winning the championship. I call it 0.0. 538 measures this stuff. They have a 0.1 chance to win the championship.
Same thing. It's a rounding error.
So, like, if you're measuring it analytically, if you're using math, as a Bulls fan, what is the greater good? Like, what is the point of getting to the postseason?
Well, analytically, the only thing that gets you pointed in the right direction and gets you out of this mediocrity ravine is to somehow, some way, get the good fortune, find your way into the top five, you know, of the bottom five, you know, records, and have a miracle in the lottery.
Right. Exactly.
Now, again, I get it. It's a below 50% chance if that happens. But that, I think, do the numbers, as you said. That's a greater opportunity for you to get yourself put on the right path versus thinking that next year they're going to do something that all of a sudden magically fixes their
issue. I want them to win series. Go in and have chances to win a series in the playoffs in advance. And Bulls fans haven't seen that in a long time.
And I think we're both acknowledging they've been better. Eight and four the last 12. Pat Bev has given them a little juice. I get all of that. I'm acknowledging it. But when you look past this short-term period and into the horizon, I'm kind of lost.
Yeah. And someone says, go tell the players to tank, see what happens. I'm not asking the players to tank.
Of course not.
I'm just telling you what I want. Nobody's just me telling as a fan. Them. Yeah. No, absolutely no. DeMar should play hard. Zach should play hard. Vooch should play hard. Billy should coach hard. This is about what we want as a fan. All right. If you want to weigh in on the Bulls, the WBC has been top of mind. I have a football question for you. Is it better for you to make the decision, or is it better for someone else to make the decision for you when it comes to a controversial player? I will get to the brass tacks of that in 2 short minutes.